Mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapajyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of His energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called nityabadha, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his being conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult. Even though that material nature is an inferior will, inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome, inferior material nature is defined therein as divine nature, due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound, because the bound cannot help the bound. The rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of His causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of His paternal affection for the living entity, who was originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. Srila Prabhupada is here remarking the significant terminology of Lord Sri Krishna. He is referring to the inferior material nature as being divine. There are three energies categorically. There is the superior or spiritual energy, which is the kingdom of God, Param Dham. And in this spiritual world, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Krishna is manifesting Himself in everything. In His divine existence, which is eternal, full of knowledge and full of joy. This is the natural inhabitants for all living beings. Because the soul, the Jivatma, is part and parcel of Sri Krishna. Therefore, the soul, as Krishna explains, najayate mriyate va kadachin nayan bhuto vabhata vanabhuya, is beyond birth and beyond death. It is eternal, primeval. But there is another energy, Krishna explains, where all of its manifestations are temporary and illusory. And therefore, because of its temporary nature, when the eternal soul identifies with it, it can simply suffer. Tribir gunamayair bhavayar. It is described, prakrite kriyamana nigunai kharamani saravasha ahankara vimudhatma karataham iti manyate, that the bewildered spirit soul identifies with this material nature to be the self, and therefore is bound by hands and feet by the ropes of material energy, sattva-guna, raja-guna, and tamaguna. And these ropes of material nature are constantly dragging the pure soul into various materialistic activities which are meant for his bondage and suffering. The spirit soul is of the marginal energy. It is spiritual by nature, but it is situated between the inferior and superior, or material and spiritual energies. And the spirit soul does not have complete independence. Krishna is abhigya and swarat. He is all-knowing and fully independent. We are only part of him. Therefore, we have partial independence. That independence is, we may choose whether we desire to be utterly subordinate and predominated by either Krishna directly through his spiritual energy, or through Maya, or Krishna indirectly through the material energy. That is our choice. But in all cases, we are always subordinate to Krishna. Now here, this material energy, which is called Maya, which you hear so much about, the illusion, how Maya causes so much suffering, how Maya promises us everything and kicks us in the face. The scriptures explain like this, that Maya is very clever, this material energy. She will promise you, in so many gross and subtle ways, happiness, fulfillment, and joy, if you simply surrender to her. Simply allow yourself to be bound by the gunas or the ropes. But in the end, she always cheats us. She gives us just the opposite. She kicks us in the face. In the end. At all times. So, here Krishna is explaining the very nature of his material energy. And he's giving us the chance. Many of you here are businessmen. If you are doing business with somebody, and that person already has a 100% record that he's going to promise you everything and give you nothing but pain and cheat you, will you do business with such a person? All of you are shaking your head no. But factually, you are doing it every day, because Maya is doing just that. She's promising you everything, and it's guaranteed she's going to cheat you out of everything. And yet you give her your whole life. You give her your will. Your body, minds, and words are working for her service. Therefore, the Bhagavatam explains, Nunam vramatha kurute vakarama yadindriya pritya aprunoti. Such persons who are mad for sense gratification, they are declared to be like insane people. They are mad. They're crazy. You know better. And yet still we are so much addicted to Maya's promises. We cannot give it up. This is the abominable condition
that the spirit soul is in this material world. Maya sounds so cruel. And factually, for one who is under her influence, she is utterly cruel. She is the essence of all cruelness from the material point of view. So why should we exchange the very essence of our life with trust in the false pleasures of the senses and the objects of the senses? But here Krishna is declaring this Maya, Mayaya, to be his divine energy. Why is it divine? Because from the point of view of a devotee, he understands this energy has a divine purpose. It is to facilitate the reawakening of bhakti, or divine love, in the hearts of those who have chosen to rebel against Krishna. Krishna explains, for one who surrenders to him, then this energy of Maya, which is so unfathomable and difficult to overcome, becomes easy to overcome. This material energy is impossible for us. We are jivatmas. What is the nature of material energy? Have you ever seen a hurricane, a tornado, an earthquake? Even during the monsoons, when there are storms in Bombay, everything stops. With all our big industrialists and all our big politicians, when it rains too much, the roads are blocked, the trains stop, the airplanes stop, the whole city stops, the telephones stop. You just have to sit and wait. We are conquered by a little rain. The United States of America, the wealthiest state is California. There are more millionaires in California than practically any concentrated area in the entire world. And yet, everyone knows that any day there is going to be an earthquake, and when that comes, the whole state is going to fall deep into the ocean. And with all their money and all their influence, even the great movie stars in Hollywood, they will not be able to put on a show at that time. They are hopeless. They are helpless. Material energy is so powerful. I remember when I was young, in the northern part of America, at one time in the winter it became so cold that the whole state stopped. There was no school. There was no heat. There was no electricity. Even the richest people had to move out of their own big mansions and go into high school gymnasiums where people were lighting fires. Sounds kind of like Kumbh Mela. But it wasn't a holy pilgrimage. It was utter desperation. And the governor of the state made a public announcement that there's nothing we can do. Everything is completely stopped by this cold weather. The ice was breaking all the wires. Trees were falling and destroying the telephone lines, the electrical lines. He said, all we can do at this stage is fall on our knees and pray to God to help us. Can you imagine a governor saying something like this, a politician? He was not a religious man, but he became religious out of utter desperation. Everyone had to become like Draupadi and just throw their hands in the air and say, there's nothing we can do. This material energy is very difficult to overcome. And we read about floods. We read about fires. The second largest city in America, just less than 100 years ago, was completely consumed by a fire. And you know what the theory is of how that fire took place?
This is a
Yes. You see, Chicago
happens to be, up until recently, the largest place for slaughterhouses in the world. The stockyards of Chicago were the biggest places for slaughtering cows in the world. Huh? So one day, this one old lady, she had a cow, her name was Mrs. O'Leary, and it was night, and she left a lantern with a flame in the barn. And the cow kicked over the lantern, started the hay and the grass on fire. Soon her barn caught on fire, then the next barn, then the next barn, then into the city, and soon the entire city was engulfed in flames. Kind of a perverted reflection of Sri Lanka after Hanuman lit it on. The whole city was in flames, and there was no question of putting it out with all of their fire brigades. It was like nothing. They just had to wait until, by nature's course, everything was consumed. When everything was ashes and there was nothing else to burn, then only did the fire go out. This is very symbolic. Mother Cow got her revenge in the city of her slaughterers. Huh? You're slaughtering me, all right? Kick it over, burn down the city. It was definitely poetic justice. Is it the power of material nature? When a child sees lightning in the sky, it's fearful. When an adult sees lightning and thunder in the sky, whoever he is, he becomes afraid, because it is a power beyond him. Someone told me that one lightning bolt in the sky has more watts in voltage than practically all the electricity combined in the whole planet. Huh? That's how powerful material nature is. So we have no chance of conquering material nature. We are insignificant. We are jivatmas. It is difficult to overcome. On our own, it is impossible to overcome. Therefore, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, Trinadapi sunitena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. We have to give up our false pride and become very humble, because only in utter humility can we take shelter of Krishna, surrender to Krishna. And then Krishna explains this material nature is very easy to overcome. That this material existence, trying to overcome the laws of material nature, is like trying to cross the ocean without a boat, on your own. But it is explained, for one who takes shelter of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, then the entire content of water produced within the ocean is reduced to the size of the quantity of water contained in the hoofprint of not a cow, but a calf, a small calf. You can easily cross beyond it. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an explanation how the lotus feet of the great saintly persons who are giving the shelter of Krishna to the conditioned souls in the world, their feet are like boats that carry you across the ocean of material existence. But the demigods who are offering this prayer are explaining it is a very fantastic and unique type of boat. Because an ordinary boat, when you board it, as it's going across the ocean, everyone else has to wait till it goes and comes back. Correct? But in this boat, there is no waiting. Everyone, at any time, can cross over this ocean of material existence by walking upon this boat. How is that? As soon as you take shelter of the lotus feet of the great souls and board that boat of their mercy, then the entire ocean of material existence shrinks to the size of the hoofprint of a calf. And then you just walk over the boat. One side is material nature, the other side is Vrindavan. It's very simple for the simple, but very complicated for those who still are attached to their own abilities,
to their own knowledge, to their own pious activities. Rupa Goswami explains that any amount of knowledge, any amount of pious activities cannot help you to cross over the ocean of material existence. Only loving devotion in surrender to the feet of Krishna. Today, one elderly gentleman came to visit us, and with tears in his eyes, he was inquiring, in the face of great suffering in his life, he came to our room. He was a rather wealthy man, and he came with his driver. He introduced his driver. So this is my driver. And the driver gave him a garland. He offered the garland. Then he told the driver, now please go down and watch the car. And the driver went down to watch the car. So he asked me, what is the solution to the sufferings of this world? They seem impossible to overcome. And I told him, with all of your imagination, with all of your creative ability, with all of your money, there is only one solution, and that is to surrender to Krishna. There's no other way. Ultimately, you have to come to that point. And until that, you must go on suffering. Sometimes there's a little pleasure between the sufferings. He said, but this is a great mystery. You talk about surrender. So many people talk about surrender. But what does it mean to surrender? Tangibly, practically, what does it mean to surrender? So we replied that Krishna is in your heart. Sarvasya aham hridisha nivishto matasmiti rujyanam apohanam cha vidaishta sarveraham eva vejo vedanta krid vedeva deva chaham. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridde sherjanatishtiti brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani maya. He is the source of all your remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. He is also directing your wanderings according to your desires. Krishna ultimately is the passenger within the car. You, the spirit soul, through your intelligence, your desires, you are the driver of this car of material, of human life. It is an automobile. This human form of life is considered a vehicle. Krishna, the Paramatma, is the passenger. The Jivatma, through his intelligence, is the driver. You are the Jivatma. Now, you have your driver. What does it mean for your driver to surrender? To simply do what you tell him to do and go where you tell him to go. Is there anything difficult to understand about that? You told your driver, go down, watch the car. Yes, sir, he went down and watched the car. When you tell him to go right, he goes right. When you tell him to go left, he goes left. Thy will, not mine will, be done. Whatever you want, my Lord, I will do. Krishna appears through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That Paramatma, the passenger, sitting within our heart. Krishna. We cannot hear him there. So that very super soul is speaking through the Guru, through the scriptures, and through the great sadhus, telling us exactly what he wants. He's the driver. He's the proprietor of this car, this automobile of our life. He's demanding, go here, do this, do not do that. Surrender simply means to cooperate with his will at every moment. And if you do not, then unfortunately, like the driver who is uncooperating, we will have to suffer. We will be reprimanded. We will lose whatever we have today or tomorrow. So surrender simply means to follow the instructions of Guru and Krishna. To let every aspect of our life be in harmony with his will. It is not difficult. simple for the simple, complicated for the complicated. You must accept a guru with faith that here is God speaking through him. What should I do? What should I not do? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught by his own example that one should never consider oneself learned before one's spiritual master. One should consider oneself simply a fool. Because in that foolishness, we can be obedient. If the driver of the car thinks he knows better than the driver, then what will happen? He will create havoc. So similarly, when the foolish living entity thinks he knows better than God, thinks he knows better than his representative, thinks he knows anything in the presence of God and his representative, that is the cause of all bondage and all suffering. Very simple, very straight. So this is what it means to surrender. To inquire submissively and to act upon what we hear by rendering service. That is all. And when we take shelter of the Lord in this way, there will be many trials and tribulations. But all of those trials and tribulations are the divine mercy of God to purify our hearts. As long as we know we are simply executing the order of Guru in Krishna, there is nothing to fear. Whatever takes place is only for our good. Krishna says in the Gita that my devotee will never perish. My devotee, through the agency of my spiritual and material energies, through all my energies together, I am simply directing personally that child of mine back to my lotus feet. That is his promise. For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. When we become sincere and humble and willing to live in harmony with the will of God, then we will be able to perceive Krishna everywhere, in everything. In the happiness and the distress, in the pleasure and the pain, in the honor and the dishonor, in birth and death, we will only see Krishna. We will only see his helping hand. This is Krishna consciousness. Krishna has so kindly intervened within this material nature through the sound vibration of his holy name. Through the sound of Harinam, in any situation of life, we can spiritualize our consciousness. Nam nam akari bahuda nirasarava shaktis tatrapita niyamita smaradena kala ethadrishita vakripapa gavanmamapi durdaivam idrisham ihajaninanuraga. It's very simple. The Lord has empowered all of his names with all of his potencies. The holy name is like the bridge. By taking shelter of this bridge, we are taking shelter of Krishna. We are taking shelter of the instruction of Guru, because this is the supreme most order of Guru, to always chant the holy name, to always remember Krishna through this process. This morning we were reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami was explaining how Lord Sri Ramchandra, when he decided that it was time to cross the Indian Ocean to go to Lanka to wage war against the great Asura Ravana, with great respect, he fasted for 3 days on the banks of that ocean. And then he humbly asked permission of the ocean to allow him to cross over. Because after all, the ocean is the property and the home of the ocean personified. And Ramchandra was asking He wasn't demanding, he was asking. Will you allow us permission to utilize your property for my loving service? Now, why did Ram ask? In the Gita, he explains, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, that he is the proprietor of everything that exists. The ocean is his property, not the ocean's property, it is his property. He could demand. He has no need to ask permission. But he does. To give the opportunity to surrender. Everything is the property of God. And he appears in various incarnations. He speaks through many scriptures. He speaks through all the great saints and sadhus, requesting us, Yat karoshi rashnashi yajdruhoshi dadasya yat yat tapasya sikonte yatat kurusha madharaparam. All that you do, all that you offer and give away, all austerities you may perform, all that you eat, do it as an offering to me. This is his request. It already belongs to him, but yet he's requesting that we use it for him. You say it's your property, use it in my service. He's giving us a chance to enter into the realm of love. But you see, the ocean did not respond. After all, we can imagine the ocean has a lot of responsibilities. Sometimes we think, how much time do I have for Krishna? I have 2 or 3 children. I have to take care of all of them. Do you know how many fish are in the ocean? They are all the children of the ocean. And the ocean has to take care and provide for every one of them. There are billions of fish in the ocean. You think, oh, but I have all this property. I have so many acres of land. I have to cultivate. I have to take care of. I have to maintain. I have to pay the mortgages and the rent. Do you know how much property the ocean has? Can you imagine how many square acres? It's miles and miles wide, miles and miles deep, miles and miles across. He is the controller and the proprietor that has to maintain the entirety. The predominator of the ocean has a big job, big responsibility in this world. So perhaps he was thinking, I'm just too busy. Ram wants something, but I'm busy. Does that sound familiar? That is the condition of every one of us. Therefore, out of Ram's mercy, he became very angry. And when he became angry, the ocean became so agitated, the ocean became so disturbed, that all the fish were coming out to the top screaming in pain. They were all about to be destroyed. That is the Lord's mercy. He created a suffering condition so that the ocean personified would surrender, would turn over what belongs to God to God. So the same thing is happening with us. Our ocean is our consciousness. And all those things that pertain to our consciousness, our body, our families, our wealth, they are all our ocean. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has already requested, please, let me use your property for my service. I have work to do through your property, through your consciousness. And when we ignore him, what takes place? He becomes angry. And what happens with that anger? Agitation and disturbance. We become lusty as anything. We become angry. We become envious. We become proud. And all the fishes of these agitated, disturbed, lusty desires just start cropping up constantly, causing us so much disturbance and pain in our life. But that's the Lord's mercy. Under that predicament, we should take the instruction of the ocean. He was intelligent. When he saw that he was in a helpless condition, He came out with folded hands and said, "My Lord, I surrender to you." First he glorified the Lord. "You are the master and controller of everything, my Lord. I am your eternal servant. Now, kindly build a bridge across my waters. Go to Sri Lanka and destroy this demon, Ravana, who was born like the urine from his father, only to create sorrow, tears, and anxiety within this world." We are all in that situation. There are so many disturbances due to the displeasure of God in our life. We should become intelligent and with folded palms understand that unless I accept that everything is Krishna's property, that everything is meant to be used for the mission of Ram, there can be no happiness, there can be no relief. To cross the bridge over this ocean, the name of Ram was carved in every brick. Huh? Why? Ram wanted to show that it is only through taking support at every step from the holy name can we cross this ocean of material existence. If there was any stone that did not have the name of Ram and you stepped upon it, you would sink to the bottom and suffer. So therefore, at every step, we should remember the name of Ram, the name of Krishna. And through the chanting of his holy name, this is the divine bridge which has been offered to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself to cross over the ocean of material suffering. So what does it mean to surrender to the Lord? It is very simple. Simply do the will of the Lord. And in this age of Kali Yuga, what is his supreme will for all of us? Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Kirtaniya Sadahari. To always remember the holy name. To take shelter of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. But we must chant with faith. That is why it is so essential to hear from the saintly persons, hear from God's representatives, and hear the scriptures. Because without sufficiently hearing, and without submissively rendering service, we will not be able to chant with faith. And the potency of the holy name is according to the faith in which we chant. Many people are chanting the holy name, but the potency of the name is being revealed according to the particular quality of the faith of one who is chanting. Because you cannot take shelter of someone you do not have faith in. Correct? If you truly have faith that the name of God is none different than Krishna, then you can utterly take shelter in every situation of life. But if you do not have that faith, you will chant mechanically. And when real trouble comes into your life, you will take shelter of some material arrangement. You'll give up the holy name. You'll superficially chant the holy name, but you'll really be depending on something else, on your own endeavors to protect you. This is called false pride. It is the greatest enemy of a devotee. Therefore, we must submissively come in the association of sadhus to hear the glories of Krishna, to hear the glories of his holy name, to hear his wonderful pastimes, Shraddha. By hearing in the association of devotees, Shraddha awakens in our heart. Faith in Krishna, faith in his name. Then only can we chant with real quality. Then only will the holy name reveal all of the power, all of the glory, all of the beauty, and all the love of God from within it. So let us associate with those persons and only engage in those activities which help to fortify and to build this most sacred and precious of all wealth, faith. Faith and trust in Krishna. Somebody asked me today, I'm not satisfied with my service. What? We are not satisfied because we lack faith. We do not have trust that whatever we do, when we chant His holy names, when we hear His glories, when we render service, we are finding shelter at His lotus feet. Faith is very precious. It is said that faith is like a tree in a garden. It takes a very long time to grow a tree. It takes years and years and years. Shraddha is not something that will take that will instantly manifest in your life and grow to a mature state. It may take many, many lifetimes. It may take, if you are sincere, many, many years for this faith to grow and become strong and indestructible. A tree may be watered and cultivated for 50 or 60 or 100 years till it starts to bear real fruits. But that same tree can be cut down within seconds. So similarly, what has taken us years and years to grow in regard to our faith, if we subject ourselves to materialistic association, to the blasphemy of the Lord and His devotees, the blasphemy of the spiritual master and the great sadhus, what has taken years and years and years to develop within minutes can be cut down. Therefore, we must nourish our faith and very carefully and scrutinizingly protect our faith. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastrakoi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sinihoi. This is done by association of persons whose real ambition is to increase our faith, to increase our trust in Krishna and His name. And under those influences, then we can chant the holy name with quality, with the quality of divine shraddha or faith. And then very quickly, Krishna will reveal all of His glory through the sound of His holy name. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes. What is this? Because it is your desire not to know. It is your desire to forget. Because without that forgetfulness, you will not be in the illusion by which you can enjoy. And Krishna will not take away this independence. Krishna says in the Gita,
sarvasya chaham hridi shannivishtom atasmitir jnanam apohanam cha.
He is the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. It is he that creates forgetfulness within our consciousness. Why? Because that is our desire. We want to go on enjoying independent of him. It is our great ambition in life not to remember why we did all the bad things what we have done. It will not help you. Remember the solution. Remember Krishna. Even if you have all the facts and figures of why you're suffering for everything, will that information help you become relieved from the suffering? He's already told you what the sins and what the pious things are. You don't have to understand categorically in detail. Obviously, you've done these things. If you have a burn on your hand, you don't have to...